is one of the most thoughtful arrangements and the way he thought through so many scriptures. So we're really grateful for you, brother. Steve, we look forward to hearing what the Lord is going to say through you this morning.
Well, amen. I am thrilled to be here this morning. Can we give all of our musicians, the choir, the orchestra, the praise team, the handbell choir, can we give them all a hand for the Lord? Amen. I tell you what, you folks are so blessed to be able to have such great music every single week. I'm so thankful for your music man, Pastor Keith, and he does such a wonderful job and been such a great friend to us and our ministry through the years. I'm very grateful to be on the Doug Eccles sabbatical tour today. Amen. And hello, Yorktown, right? I am so thankful to be here. I love your pastor. He has been a great friend and supporter of our ministry for a very, very long time. And I'm always thrilled and honored when I have the opportunity to come stand in this place and to preach for him. And we certainly are praying for he and Christy. We're praying that they have a great time of refreshing and for their family as they get renewed, revived, regenerated. And certainly God is giving them vision for 2020 and beyond. He has such a great ministry here. And I hope you realize just how blessed you are to have Pastor Doug. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm thrilled to be here today, and I tell you, so many kind words were already spoken about me and our ministry by Pastor Jake, just the way I wrote them. Amen. And I tell you, if you are interested in keeping up with our ministry, you can find us at stevefreemanministries.org. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can also find us there as well. Well, I can tell you, I can remember a time in my life when I would say to you that I was in the best physical shape of my life. Now, as you look at me today, you realize that time has passed. Amen. That time has passed. But I remember a time I was a senior in high school, and believe it or not, even though I have this physical handicap called cerebral palsy, I was actually asked to join the wrestling team of all things. I couldn't believe it. The coach of the wrestling team said, "Steve, I need you. I need you." I said, "What for?" "I need you to join up." "Join up on what?" He said, "Join up on the wrestling team." Folk, look at me. Do I look like a wrestler? No, I do not. I've never wrestled. I've never been an athlete of any kind. And I told the coach, "I can't do that. Why would you need me to be on your wrestling team?" He said, "Well, Steve, you may not know this, but in high school wrestling, they have different weight classes." And he says, "How much do you weigh?" And as a senior in high school, I was weighing in at a stout 98 pounds. Amen. He said, "Believe it or not, that's what I'm looking for, the 98-pound weight class." And so I fit the requirement to be a wrestler. And then I said to him, I said, "But coach, I can't wrestle. I've got this handicap, cerebral palsy. I walk funny. I have a little difficulty there." And I said, "I've never been an athlete." And then he says to me, "Well, I believe that I can teach you to wrestle in such a way that you won't hurt yourself." I thought about that for a moment. I said, "Coach, I'm not worried about me hurting me. I'm worried about others hurting me." That was my concern. I did wrestle my senior year in high school. I lettered in wrestling. I will not stand here today and tell you I was a great wrestler. However, I will say this. I had a perfect record all season. Perfect zeros across the board. Amen. I didn't win a single match, but I was thrilled to be on the team. But I remember in wrestling, man, I was in the best physical shape of my life. We would do hundreds of push-ups every day. We would do hundreds of sit-ups. We would do hundreds of pull-ups and all of these things. Now, folk, I realize that time has passed in my life. In fact, as a 51-year-old man now, I can do very little of those things that I was doing as a senior in high school. But you know what? I've tried to remedy that problem just a little bit. I've tried to remedy it, as most of you may have done the same kind of thing. Every New Year's, what do? We go to the gym, don't we? Well, that's right. We sign up, man. I'm back. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to get in good physical shape and all this. And I got to tell you, I have a membership at Gold's Gym in Colonial Heights, Virginia. In fact, I've had a membership there for quite some time. I do believe, in my estimation, I'm one of their favorite clients at Gold's Gym. I'm one of their favorites because I have the distinction of paying membership dues every month and rarely ever going to the gym. Can somebody relate to what I'm saying? Folk, if you go down to Colonial Heights to the Gold's Gym there and you walk into the workout area and you pass by the treadmills or the exercise bikes, and if you ever see one of those signs on those that say out of order, I can promise you I didn't break that machine. Amen. But I am thrilled to be here today. I'm thrilled to be here. And you know, as we think about maybe what once was a long time ago when we were all in much better shape, can I get an amen? I will say this. There is one muscle in the human body that never needs a workout. There's one muscle in the human body that never tires. There is one muscle in the human body that never needs strengthening. There's one muscle in the human body, I am told, that per size and per capita, it is the strongest muscle in the human body, and that is our tongue. Can I get an amen? And when I say our tongue, I'm talking about your tongue, I'm talking about my tongue, I'm talking about our tongue. And when I say the phrase our tongue, I'm talking about the words that we use. I'm talking about the conversations that we're involved in. I'm talking about how you and I, we use our words sometimes for good, but oftentimes for evil. Would you agree with me that our words are powerful? Amen. Our words are powerful. You know, when you think about it, our words, you know what they can do? They can build up, can't they? They can build up. They can encourage. They can motivate. They can inspire others to greatness. Our words can do those things. But you know what else? Our words are powerful. They can also tear down. Our words also at times can ruin lives. Our words can hurt relationships. Our words can devastate people. You see, words, they can be helpful or hurtful. And I would guess, as I look around this room, for many of us, the words that we remember the most, probably, that have been spoken to us through our lifetime, oftentimes the words we remember the most, well, are the words that were the most hurtful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you do. You know, as parents, sometimes we tell our children this silly little thing we tell our kids. We say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me. Folk, what a load of garbage that is. Amen. Folk, I'll tell you what, sticks and stones do hurt. But I have found through the years that sometimes words hurt even more. In fact, words can hurt us. They can break us. Now, they may not break our bones, but I'll tell you this. Words can crush our spirits. Words can absolutely destroy our confidence. And this is why we've got to get a handle on our tongues. Can I get an amen? We've got to learn to handle our tongue. Does God say anything to us in His Word about how to do that? I'm so thankful that He does. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning, if you haven't already turned there, to the book of James in the New Testament. The book of James, the third chapter. And what we're going to do, we're going to work our way through the first 12 verses of chapter 3. And after we work our way through those verses, at the end of the message, I'm going to share some principles with you. Hopefully, that'll help us all as we try to get a handle on our tongues. So follow along with me in your copy of God's Word, James chapter 3. Just look with me at verses 1 and 2 as we get started. James is writing, you remember James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. James, who became the leader of the church there in Jerusalem. James, who God used in such a great and mighty way. James, who didn't even believe initially that Jesus, his half-brother, was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But it was when? After the resurrection. Amen. Man, after the resurrection, after James saw Jesus, James knew, James believed, and God began to use James in a great and a mighty way. Look what he says in verse number 1 of chapter 3. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, as we look at verse 1, you say, well, I guess that's talking to pastors. Well, I'm sure it is. I'm sure that's a part of that. Pastors, Sunday school teachers. But can I tell you, how many parents do we have in the room today? Let me raise your hand if you're a parent. If you've got kids of your own, guess what? You're a teacher. Amen. Folk, what greater job do you and I have as parents than teaching our children about Jesus? Teaching our children how to live and navigate in this world as we live out our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, standing for the things of God. You and I don't have a greater platform to teach than those children that God has given you. And now, for some of you, not only are you parents, you are grandparents. Can I get an amen? You have to be grand. It's in the name. Amen. You're all of that. My parents tell me all the time, if they knew being a grandparent was so much fun, they would have done that first. Amen. Child rearing is hard. Grandparenting is fun. Amen. And I don't know what happens. When you become a grandparent, you completely lose your mind. How many parents understand what I'm saying? Because I got to tell you, when my parents became grandparents, they became different people altogether. In fact, my parents will let my children do things around them, in front of them, under their roof that I could never dream of doing. Can I get an amen? And then my parents walk around like a dollar bill dispenser, just handing out money. Where was all that generosity when I was growing up? I think they know they're getting close to death. They want to get things right. Amen. But James says here, he says, be careful, teachers. You know what? We're all teachers, aren't we? We're all teachers. And then he says this in verse 2. He says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. You know, as you look at verse 2, you know what he's saying? All of us stumble with our words. Can I get an amen? Man, we all stumble with our words. We've all said things we shouldn't say. We've all said things we would think we would never say. We've all said dumb things. Can I get an amen if you say some dumb things every now and then? Men, how many times have you ever looked at a woman and had the audacity to ask her this question, so when are you due? Only to find out she's not due. Oh, my land. If you do this, you'll only do it once. Amen. I was preaching at a church down in North Carolina many years ago, and to tell you the kind of dumb things that I do, I was preaching at this church, and the pastor said to me, I'd met people, you know, in the congregation after the service. This was on Sunday. Well, on Tuesday, the pastor, I was still in town. I was preaching a revival there at his church. And he says, Steve, I need you to go with me to the hospital. I said, all right. I said, what do you need me to do? He said, well, there's a lady. She was at church on Sunday, but on Monday, she had to go to the hospital. She was having a lot of blood pressure issues. It was spiking, and so they've admitted her. They're running all kinds of tests. And she wanted to know if you'd be willing to come down to the hospital and pray for her. I said, absolutely. And so I went into the room, and I'm there with the pastor. And he says, now, Brother Steve, would you pray? And I bowed my head, and I said, Lord, I said, I pray for Sister Lucille. God, I pray for her. I pray you'd bless her. God, I pray you'd help her in this situation. God, I pray you'd bring healing to Lucille's body. And I went on and on praying for her. And I said, amen. She looked at me. She said, preacher. She said, thank you so much for that prayer. I said, well, ma'am, you're welcome. She said, my sister will really enjoy that. I said, what do you mean? She said, my name's Louise. My sister is Lucille. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I get myself into that kind of stuff all the time. Haven't we all said some dumb things? Amen. None of us are exempt. But he goes on to say this in verse 2. He says, you know what? He says, if we don't stumble in word, he's saying, you know what? If you can get a handle on your tongue, you're like a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. That's what he says there in verse 2. Now, when he says, if you can get a handle on this, you'll be perfect. Now, he's not talking about sinless perfection here, but I think he's trying to tell you and me something. He says, man, you know what? If you can get a handle on your tongue, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to do just about anything in life. Man, you'll just be able to do about anything in life. You'll be able to manage your life well if you can manage your tongue. Can I get an amen? And then he goes on in verses 3 and 4. Look at them with me. He says, indeed, we put bits into horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And then he says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And so in verses 3 and 4, James starts to give us some very practical examples to illustrate the power of our tongues, to illustrate just how powerful they are. And he starts by talking about horses. Does anybody in here, have you had any experiences with horses? Anybody ever done any horse riding? You've done some of that. Several years ago, I was in Winchester, Virginia, preaching at a little church. Man came up to me after the service. He said, Brother Steve, I'd love you to have you to come to my home today for lunch. I usually don't refuse lunch invitations. Amen. And so I told him, I said, I'd be honored to do that. He said, now, I live out on a farm about 5 miles from the church, and I've got plenty of land. I'd love to take you around and give you a tour of my farm. I said, well, I'd love to see that. And he said, and I've got horses. I said, well, that's wonderful. He says, would you like to ride a horse? I said, no, sir. I mean, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to pray about that thing. It's a flat no. I don't want to get on no horse. Well, why is that, Brother Steve? Well, I don't know if you've noticed, sir, but I'm kind of short. In fact, I'm so short I have to bring my own pulpit everywhere I go. I mean, that's how short I am. I said, I'm short, and horses are big. And big animals scare me. I mean, I'm just afraid of them. And he says, oh, there's no reason to be afraid and all this kind of stuff. And you'd do great on a horse. You'd love riding a horse. I said, I don't want to ride a horse. But I went to the man's house, and we had lunch. He's showing me a tour of his property. Then he says, I want you to get on that horse. I said, not going to happen. He says, Brother Steve, are you afraid? I said, yes, of course I am. I'm afraid, and I'm not dumb enough to keep doing stuff I'm afraid of doing. I mean, I don't do stuff I don't want to do. And he says, but I'll help you. I said, I don't want your help. I just want to not get on that beast over there. And then you know what that man did? He picked me up, literally, and threw me on this horse. I wish I could tell you that I'm kidding, but I'm not. And I sat there shaking and scared to death. And then he grabbed the back of my pants in my belt loop, and he held on to me as a toddler. And he walked with me with this horse. And I'm telling you, I was so glad to get off of that beast when it was over. Amen. But James says this. He says, we put this bit into a horse's mouth. And that bit, even though it's so small, here's how powerful it is. It enables us to control the direction of the horse. Well, it is pretty amazing. And then he says this. He says, look also at ships. Although they're so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Now, they didn't have the kind of ships and the kind of boats that we have today that are driven by engines and all of this. No, their ships, their first century ships, they were large sailing vessels. And while they weren't driven by motors and engines, they would hoist the sails, and the winds would blow, and the winds would determine the speed of the vessel. But you know what? The rudder, the very small rudder compared to the size of the ship, the very small rudder would determine the direction and the destination of the ship. And James says, that's just like our tongues. Man, they're small, but they are powerful. In fact, he goes on to say this in verse 5. Look with me at what it says. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. That first phrase there, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. What are we boasting about these days? What are you and I talking about these days? As you think about the conversations that you and I are involved in over the past weeks, over the past months, what is it that captivates our attention so much that dominates the content of much of what we're talking about? Yeah, you know what I'd like to say? I'd like to say, man, it's always about Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? Man, it's always about the Lord. It's always about God's blessings. It's always about what God's doing in our life, with our family, you know, all of these. You know what? I'd like to be able to say that, but that would not be true. A lot of what I'm saying is not about Jesus. Man, a lot of what I'm talking about is not about the glory of God or the blessings of God. And if we're honest, I think we could all admit that. Amen? And James says, but the tongue boasts great things. And then he says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. So again, he's stating that our tongue, you know what? It's very powerful. It can be used for good, but it can also be used for evil. I mean, think about fire. We all have lighters. If you've got a grill, maybe a gas grill, and after about the first 3 months of having a gas grill, that igniter switch will go out on you, right? And so you got to go get one of them little clickers, one of them little fire starters. You got to put it up there to the burn. And you know that little flame, man, that little thing, man, can do a whole lot. Just a little bit of fire can do a whole lot. If you've been paying any attention over the last couple of years in California, what have we seen? We've seen devastating wildfires burning out of control, destroying thousands of homes, millions of dollars in property, all of this. So so fire, man, it can be devastating, can't it? But it can also be good, can't it? I mean, fire, you know what fire does for good? It'll provide warmth in a cold room. It'll provide light in a darkened room. Fire enables us to heat up water, bring water to the boiling point where it can boil out contaminants and purify water. And then also we cook our meats and vegetables because of that. We can do that all with fire. So it can be good. It can also be very destructive. Look in verse 6. He says, and the tongue is a fire. Verse 6 says, our tongue is a world of iniquity. Wow. You know what he didn't call the tongue there? A world of sweetness. A world of healing. A world of compassion. A world of peace. No, he called our tongues a world of iniquity. He says the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Wow, that's pretty descriptive, isn't it? I mean, listen, he's telling us our tongue, you know what, more times than not, while it can be used for good, he says more times than not, our tongue is used for bad. Our tongues are used for iniquity, a world of iniquity. He goes on to say that the way we use our words, you know what, can hurt people. man, can destroy people. And you know what? And you might say, well, there are a lot of things I've never said to people. I think it, but I've never said it, right? But then, you know what we do now? We may not say it to their face, but we post it on social media. Amen? Man, I tell you what. Just go on Twitter, go on Facebook. Have one goal. Let me get into the political discussion. Yikes. And you know what you find there? You find people that will say anything, no matter how ugly, no matter how hateful, no matter how rude, it's all there on social media. Friend, that's just another way of using our tongue for iniquity. Can I get an amen? I remember as a high school student, one time there was this girl, I wanted to meet her. I mean, I kind of knew her, I knew who she was, and she was very pretty, and I'm very shy. I'm very shy, and I'm very bashful, and I'm very awkward by nature and all of this, but I decided I'm going to go talk to this girl. And for today, I'm not going to use her real name, but I'm just going to call her Mary. I'm going to go meet Mary. I'm going to talk to Mary. And so I kind of mustered up my courage. This girl was so pretty. And I walked up to her there in the hallway of the high school there. And when I got up close to her, she was standing with a group of her girlfriends. And so they were right in mid-conversation, so I didn't want to interrupt, but I just listened. And man, when I heard what was coming out of her mouth, woo, I was shocked. I was shocked it would have made any sailor blush. And what happened was that girl that I thought was so attractive, that girl that I thought was so pretty, you know what? In a moment, because of what was coming out of her mouth, it made all the pretty vanish. It began to fade. She wasn't so attractive anymore. And James says, this is exactly what happens with our tongue. Because what comes out of our mouth, he says, can defile our whole body. Are you beginning to understand just how powerful our words are? You see, words can help people or words can hurt people. Words can destroy people's reputation and they can also destroy yours. How many marriages today end in divorce because of hurtful words? How many children, how many teenagers get the impression that they can never please their mom or dad because of some of the hateful, critical, or sarcastic words spoken by parents? And sometimes, you know what? And we're all guilty of this, okay? We're all guilty of this. We've said things that are so ugly sometimes, so hurtful sometimes, so hateful. And then we kind of wonder, oh my gosh, where did that come from? You know what James tells us here? He says it comes from hell. It comes straight from hell. It comes from hell, from Satan himself. And folks, you know what? That ought to clue us in that when our tongue is out of control, Jesus is not in control of our tongue. Amen? When our tongues are going out of control, that is an indication that Jesus is not in control of our mouth. And we're not surrendering that area of our life to His Lordship. So how do we get a handle? How do we get a handle on our tongues? Look at verses 7 and 8 very quickly. He says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. He says in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So what James does here in verses 7 and 8, he gives us some good news and bad news. How many of you like good news? I like good news. Here's the good news, James says. As far as the animal kingdom is concerned, you guys have done it. You've tamed them. You have tamed the animal world. You and I do not live in fear or subjection to animals. We don't. We don't. I mean, we might read about a shark attack every now and then or a snake bite, but you and I don't walk out of our house thinking that we're going to get mauled by a lion or a bear. Amen? And so we've done a pretty good job as mankind of taming the animal world. That's the good news. We've tamed them so much, we bring them into our houses now as pets. Amen. So we've done a pretty good job with that. But he says, here's the bad news. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And he's reminding us that we're never, listen, we may tame animals, but we're never going to get to the place in our life where we've got to, listen, where our tongue is not a source of struggle in our life. No matter how old we are, no matter what our level of education, no matter how long we've even known the Lord, our tongue will always be a source of struggle, a source of conflict. And look at verses 9 and 10. He says this. He says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. He says, do you see how crazy this is? He says, you and I can come to church on a Sunday morning, and we can sing songs, and we can praise the Lord, and we can say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And then before we even get home from this church, many of us will use our tongues in a way that will absolutely negate and destroy most of what we did here on Sunday morning. Amen? Isn't that crazy? I mean, before we even get home, we can be arguing, we can be bickering, we can be criticizing or berating someone. Oftentimes, we say, oh, I didn't like that song, or hey, I didn't like that sermon, or hey, that preacher preaches too long, or whatever. But you know, as we're getting in and we're saying all these things, do you know who normally catches the brunt of most of our ugliness in this world? Who catches it? Somebody tell me. Family. Those closest to you, right? They catch the brunt of it because they're the only ones that will put up with you enough to listen. Amen? Our family catches the lion's share of most of our ugliness and hatefulness. And then look at verses 11 and 12. He says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? He says, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So James closes us out here by reminding us of an amazing fact that our tongues are pretty amazing. Our tongues, in fact, are pretty miraculous because using the same tongue, we can bless and we can curse. We can help or we can hurt. It's like a spout pouring out fresh water sometimes, bitter water the next moment. Fig trees bearing olives, grapevines bearing figs, all from the same source. So what can we take away from all this? I want to give you four principles this morning, and we're getting ready to close. I'm going to share these principles with you quickly. Principle number one is this. Our words are powerful. Can I get an amen? Our words are powerful. And you know what? Sometimes our words are positive. They're uplifting. They're encouraging. You know what? That's powerful. But can I tell you, sometimes our words are very negative, very critical, very harsh. They are also powerful. In fact, for most of us, the words that we remember the most, unfortunately, sometimes are those negative comments. Isn't that true? And you know what? I don't know what the recovery time is for the negative words that have been spoken to you or about you in your life. I don't know how long it takes you to get over that, but my guess is it takes a whole lot more positive words to negate the negative words that have been spoken in your life. And so you have to understand that, because sometimes we say ugly things to people and we realize it's ugly. We say hurtful things to people and we realize it's hurtful. So what do? Well, if we love the Lord and if we love those people and we've said ugly things to them, we say, hey, I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry for that. And then we get a little surprised, we get a little shocked when the person that we just hurt and then said, I'm sorry, why they're not immediately okay. And while they're not immediately on the same page we are about this thing, can I get an amen? It's like if I slam your hand into my car door and I say to you, I'm sorry. And you say, I get that, but I'm still hurting. Folks, I want to tell you, our words are powerful. Can I get an amen? Second principle I want to share with you this morning is this. Our words can hurt or they can heal. They can help or hurt. They can hurt or heal. However you want to write that principle. But isn't it true? Man, our words, they have that potential. They can be hurtful, they can be help, or they can be helpful. So our words can help or hurt. Principle number three is this. Principle number three, our words are a window into our heart. Can I get an amen? I mean, you think about that. You want to know what's going on in this guy's heart? Listen to what this guy is saying. If I want to know what's going on in your heart, I don't have to ask you what's in your heart. All I got to do is listen. All I got to do is listen. It's not about what you tell me is in your heart. It's about what you're saying that indicates what's in your heart. And if what's in it, listen, if what's coming from my mouth is evil and hurtful and caustic and listen, critical, all of this, yeah, you know what? That might just indicate, man, I've got something going on in here. I've got something going on in my heart that's not quite right. You see, our words are a window into our heart. Last principle I want to give you this morning, and we're going to close. Our words must be surrendered to Jesus daily. Can I get an amen? Folk, this isn't a kind of message where you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender my words to you, and I'll never have to do that again. No. You know what? That is a daily exercise where we come before the Lord. We say, Lord, let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Folk, I want to tell you, a lot of reason that some folk don't want to come to church in 2020 America is because they've been there before. They've been there. And you know what they've seen? They've seen the same people at church that they see in their neighborhood. And they hear the same kind of conversations going on in church as they hear in their neighborhood. And then they watch people that say, I love Jesus and I'm a believer in God and Jesus has changed my life on Sunday morning. They watch those same people Monday through Saturday cursing and swearing and being ugly and being harsh. And you know what they conclude? They conclude Jesus really hasn't done anything in their lives. And so I don't need that. Friend, I want to tell you, when people run into a believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to look different. Amen? We ought to sound different. We ought to live different. We ought to be more like Jesus than anybody they have ever seen in their life. And this is just one of those areas and one of those ways, if we're wise, we'll say, God, I know you say in your word, I can't tame my tongue. But I tell you what, Jesus, I believe you can. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Keith is coming. The praise team is coming. If you're here today, you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that today. There's going to be a pastor. He's coming, making his way to the front. During our time of decision, as the praise team begins to sing and lead us in our time, If you feel that you need Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I want you to come and take this dear pastor by the hand and say, "Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Christ as my Savior and Lord." Maybe you're here today and you'd say, "Brother Steve, I'm looking for a church home, and I've been visiting here at Bethel for some time, and I just believe God would have me join up. Join up with this group of believers and serve God in this place." If you're looking for a church home, I know Bethel would love to have you here serving the Lord with them. Maybe you're here today and you'd say to me, "Steve, I'm a believer. I love Jesus. But I tell you what, as you were talking through James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, you know what? God really started to work on me. And I realized that so many times I use my tongue in a way that's not honoring and glorifying to the Lord." And many of you would say to me right now, you'd say, "Preacher, I want to surrender my tongue to Jesus. I want God to get the glory from the words that I say, from the conversations that I'm involved in." And you would say this to this preacher today. You'd say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you lift up your hands right now if that's where you are?" Heads are bowed. Hands are going up all across this place. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray in our time of decision, whatever the decision we need to make, I pray we'd be obedient to your leading, obedient to your moving. For those who need Christ to be their Lord and Savior, I pray that right now they would say, "Jesus, come into my life and save me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, be my Savior and Lord. I give you my life and my all." For many here who would say that we are believers already, but God, we know you've convicted us of the way we use our mouth, the way we use our tongue, that so many times does not honor you. God, would you forgive us right now? God, would you help us to recognize where we fail in this area so we can live better for you? Oh, Lord, take control. Help us to surrender our tongues to you each and every day so that people, when they see us, when they hear us, they will see Jesus and they will hear Jesus. Oh God, move in our time of decision, our time of invitation. Maybe there's someone in this room, we just need to go to them and say, "I'm sorry. Forgive me for what I've said. Forgive me for what I've done." Oh God, would you bring about reconciliation? Would you bring about forgiveness? Would you bring about a healing? Maybe in families that need to be brought together. Maybe individuals that need to be brought together. Oh God, would you do your work your way? Help us to be obedient. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you